Away we go here on this Thursday, May the 9th, 2019, 5-9-19, 17 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and boy, do we have a show for you today. Joining us in studio for the two-hour period today, Adam the Computer Guy, whose show today from 2:10 to 3 p.m. will be live in studio, so don't forget that. And for most of the program today, we're going to do trivia because tomorrow is our big giveaway of two tickets to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You can enter as many times as you like. We're going to ask trivia questions from 12:30 up until 2 o'clock today, and then I believe Adam's going to do the same on his live show from 2:15 to 3 p.m. And remember, you can enter as many times as you like, and tomorrow at 2:15, we're going to give away, through a drawing, two tickets to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. But before we do that, we had a big primary election on Tuesday. And in the 5th Ward, we had a Democratic primary. It was the only primary in the city of Marion. It was Tara Dyer and Tanner Hale, who had both run for office in the past. They were running in this Democratic primary to see who was going to face current Republican incumbent 5th Ward Councilperson Leslie Cunningham in the fall. On Tuesday, Tara became the winner, getting more votes. So we wanted to talk to our friend Tanner Hale, who we've had on so many times before, and see what Tuesday night was like and where we go from here and how he's doing. Tanner, how are you?
I'm doing well, Scott. How are you?
Doing okay. Take me through Tuesday night. Where were you? What happened?
Tuesday was a very busy day. This campaign has been busy, and we've just been out, and we've been getting out all across the neighborhoods and working and just showing people what our message is and what a Councilman Hale would look like. And, unfortunately, we fell a little bit short, but we were just busy all day, and we were just trying to get out our supporters, and, Tara was getting out her supporters. But overall, just a good, fun primary. We had a lot of fun, and, like I said, we came up a little bit short, but it didn't it shouldn't be underscaled, like, just how much we learned throughout this entire experience and just getting the chance to meet everybody. So I definitely enjoyed it. I had a really fun time.
What did you learn?
I think every time you go out and you canvass and you go out into the neighborhoods, you learn the issues and you learn what impacts people on their daily lives. And so, so many people brought up how Marion needs to improve our streets. We need to, pass infrastructure reform so that we can, reform our sewer systems, our sidewalks, our schools, our roads, and fill potholes. And, those issues really matter to our district in this primary. And, overall, if you're asking what made or broke it, I'm not certain. All I know is that we just got out there, we spread our message, and, I think that coming within 40 votes again was indicative of how strong this campaign has really come. Because there's a lot of challenges for young people when they enter politics, because oftentimes they're not taken as serious, or people think that they just still have so much more to learn. And all of that is true, but no one is fully prepared to take office on the first day. So we really just spent a lot of time going out in the neighborhoods and showing people how serious our campaign was and what things would look like if we were given an opportunity at leadership.
Do you think that was an issue? Did you feel that was an issue when you were going door to door, that people took your age into account?
I think any time a young person enters politics, that's a question that enters people's heads. It's just so rare and so uncommon to see people, in particular under the age of 30, go ahead and make that leap forward and decide to put their name on a ballot. And that always demonstrates a challenge. But at the end of the day, we ran this race because we thought we could win. And above all, the thing that was most beautiful about Tuesday was just seeing how many people across the community were just so supportive of our campaign, whether they were out knocking on doors or whether they were out making phone calls or whether they were sharing stuff on Facebook. You know, like, I was encouraged by the people that really got to know me and got to see how hard and how passionate I feel about making our community better. But for a lot of people, that still lingers on their mind, and that's something that can't be alleviated over a few months. That takes a long time, and you know, that's a problem when young people, you know, decide to put their name on a ballot so young. Is, you know, like, I was going against Mike Thomas 4 years ago, and he had been serving longer than I've been alive. And then you fast forward to this cycle, and Carol was a retired teacher who has spent decades in the community, knowing people and even working at Benjamin Harrison, which is a school in the district. So I'm naturally at a disadvantage, you know, when that stuff comes, but we took on the challenge and we just had so much fun doing it.
You know, it's very interesting because now we know how everything's going to shake out in the fall, and you are obviously a resident of the 5th Ward running in the primary, and we now know that the matchup in the fall is going to be incumbent Republican Leslie Cunningham and now the Democrat Tara Dyer. Have you decided who you're going to vote for yet?
Well, I mean, and please be a little fair to me, Scott. I've just got out of an election 2 days ago, but I mean, I'm going to support the Democratic ticket. I support our mayor. I support our citywide, and you know, I support the Democrats taking the majority back on council, and that's what I want to see above all. But you know, there's a reason why I stepped into this race. I mean, if I thought that Tara and Leslie were better candidates than myself, then I wouldn't have ran, and I think that would make sense to a lot of people. But I just have to have a conversation with both of them. But I will tell you, I've already talked to Tara. We had about a 20-minute conversation on the phone yesterday. I liked our dialogue. I liked our discussion. But my support isn't going to be given out that easy, you know, by any candidate in any race. I need to hear their ideas. I need to see what their leadership's going to look like, because I have high expectations for the office. And I want to see those people meet it before I hand out support to anybody.
So in the 5th Ward, at this point, you have not made a decision.
And I don't think I'm going to anytime soon. I think right now I'm going to give both the candidates an opportunity to show me what their leadership's going to look like on the next term. And, you know, of course I support Democrats. I am a Democrat and I'm a proud Democrat. But right now, putting politics aside, I need to see what people's ideas are. And that was the thing that I think was most noticeably missing in this campaign, is I felt like one campaign really went out there and talked about the issues and broke down what their vision looks like, and I think one spun their wheels. And I think that, you know, there needs to be a lot of more substance in the air before I'm comfortable placing my faith into one candidate in particular.
When you say that you feel Tara's campaign spun its wheels, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think that there's a lot of campaigns right now that haven't given the voters the substances that they're looking for. And I think that's a common problem in politics right now, is that right now you see a lot of candidates that use very abstract concepts, and they talk on, like, this super big picture, and they're not diving into the daily needs. They're not talking about how, it's city council's responsibility to, you know, to be fighting for them on council and to, you know, bring good-paying jobs to the district and to reform some of the daily inconveniences of their lives, such as the streets, such as the sewer systems. The voters want to see a plan to fully fund our police and fire department. The voters want to see Marion grow and Marion take part into the growth that Central Ohio is experiencing right now. And I think we have a long campaign to go, and that's what I want to suggest to you right now. But I need to see a lot more from all of the candidates so I can have a better understanding of what our future is going to look like, because I think that the voters deserve it.
We got about 4 minutes left here, Tanner, in our conversation. There are two questions I want to ask you. Based on what you just said in the 5th Ward, why do you think, in your own opinion, that a candidate who you said spun their wheels was able to defeat you on Tuesday night, when you had substance in your own words?
Well, I mean, I think democracy is a beautiful thing, and sometimes people put politics aside, and there was definitely a community decision to go with Taylor rather than myself. You don't fault anyone for that. I think it's a beautiful thing of democracy when people can, voice their opinions and express their concerns. And I think right now, in a 200-person primary with low turnout, we came up a little bit short. But overall, I was just extremely proud of what we did and what we had to overcome to even get to that point. So I can't tell you what the voters did, because I don't know what the voters did. That's between them and the ballot box. But all I know is that we ran a campaign that we were proud of. And in order for other candidates to earn my public support, I would have to see more. And I think that that's fair. And I think that anybody listening would understand that.
Another question I have before we part ways here in about 3 minutes is, you ran for office once before, very close race. At that time, you were a Republican running against Mike Thomas, the Democrat, the incumbent. You brought that up. That was a very close race. This was a Democratic primary. You came up a little bit short here. Where do you stand as far as running for public office at this point? Still a young guy? Is this something you don't want to do again, would like to do again at some point? What are you thinking?
I don't think it's really fair to me to say if I'll do it again or if I won't do it again, because I've always felt that running for public office is more of a calling. It's not really like I'm going to wake up out of bed today and decide to run for office. My supporters and a lot of members of the community pushed me to run, and we were unsuccessful. And, we could be disappointed in that, but life is just so much bigger than elections. And right now, I'm finishing up my degrees at Ohio State. I have a really good job with Apple that I get to start tomorrow. And there's a lot of really positive things in my life I can look forward to. So to answer your question, right now, I just don't know. I mean, I'm not going to categorically rule out anything. But right now, I'm just kind of living my best life, and I'm enjoying myself. And, this campaign, while we were disappointed in the results, we had a really great time, and my supporters and I really came together, and we built something beautiful and something that we called our own, and invited people to join it. And that was the part that I'm pondering on most right now. I'm not disappointed in the results. So I don't know. But right now, there's a lot of other things that I'm focusing on that I'm having a blast doing. And I can tell you this. I will be involved. I want to see Democrats elected up and down the ballot this year and next year. And I think it's so important that Democrats take the White House in 2020. So I'll have a niche, but right now, I'm just kind of enjoying myself, Scott.
Absolutely right. And Tanner, before I let you go, and just to be, I think this is a question people want to know. You, as you just said, you support the Democratic ticket. You want to see Democrats win. You are a Democrat now, used to be a Republican. If you don't end up in the end supporting Tara, are people going to say, well, that's sour grapes because that's the person who beat him in the primary?
No, I mean, right now, Tara and I had a very encouraging dialogue yesterday, and I would like to see her grow. And instead of dishing out my support now, I'm going to give all the candidates an opportunity to continue to grow as candidates. And then, we'll assess later. But I'm not ruling out anything right now. I'm just not in a position where I'm making impulsive decisions on, whose support I'm going to throw behind, because I want to see all the candidates grow. And I just think it's not that I'm never going to say anything. It's just now is not really the time. And I'm going to let the candidates give me more of an opportunity to hear what they have to say.
It's all great, Tanner. We're always impressed and enjoy when you come and speak to us. We hope you'll come in studio sometime soon, and we'll have a bigger discussion about what's going on in the country, the state, the city, and it's always fun to talk with you. So we'll catch up soon. Have a great day, even though it's raining out there, and we'll talk again soon.
Well, thank you, Scott. I appreciate it, and I'll come on if you invite me.
Best of luck, Tanner. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tanner Hale, candidate for 5th Ward Democratic primary on Tuesday night, defeated by Tara Dyer, who will now be the Democratic candidate, but that's politics, and I don't think there are any losers in politics, and I don't mean that sappy. I think it does take a lot of guts to run, so if you put your name on the ballot and you run, I don't know how you can call yourself a loser. You do what you do. And in the end, somebody gets the nomination and somebody doesn't, but I don't think there are any losers. But I'll tell you, See, I didn't want to segue and said, speaking of losers, so I'm going to be kind, because the person in studio is not a loser. He is the host of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show every Tuesday and Thursday from 2:10 until 3 p.m. Today, live in studio, 2:10 to 3 p.m. and mid-morning coffee break with Dr. Ron Feynman on Monday mornings, 10:10 to 11 a.m. It's Adam the Computer Guy, Adam Lepp. Adam, what do you think of Tanner Hale and the Fifth Ward Democratic primary?
He's a very ambitious young man. And, you know, almost like myself, where I've kind of wavered from party to party, and I'm an independent, especially now where the Democrats have become so liberal. And I may be liberal on people issues, but, you know, when I think about socialism and the far left economic standpoints and Republicans, and if you're Donald Trump Republicans, you're traditional far-right Republicans like Mike Pence, and moderate ones, which are in some ways in common a lot with my beliefs, John Kasich being an example, and some governors that have come up as possible Trump challengers in the election. So the idea that Tanner is not afraid to switch parties, I don't see that as a big deal. Plus, I think in local politics, Scott, the party isn't that important. I mean, like the mayor, for example, if I didn't know he was a Democrat, it wouldn't matter to me. He seems, again, he's more interested in the city that he lives in and that he works for. That's more important than a party. But in national politics, it is different. So I do take my hat off to Tanner for that, because a lot of people, they pick their party and they're kind of stuck with it. And it's like, well, I'm going to believe what other Democrats believe or vice versa. So Tanner's, like myself, I think, on the fence as to which party. He just wants to make the city better. He's obviously smart and well-spoken. And on a more jovial note, don't you think he sounds a little like the Weasel in voice?
I've forgotten what the Weasel sounds like. He'll be here tomorrow.
His inflections are really similar. That's a compliment. The Weasel worked for one of the biggest FM stations in the world, and you don't get a job at WNCI unless you're very articulate. So that's a compliment. And Tanner is very well spoken. He's obviously very, very sharp. And that was one of my observations also. Just kind of hearing both of them, they seem to share a couple vocal cords, which, again, take that as a very positive. But I think Tanner is a rising star, maybe not this year, maybe next year, but I think he will serve the city well, and I believe he is an asset to the community. Just hearing him talk, Scott, and mention issues, talk about the competitors, that's important too.
And certainly,
we're all on the same team. We're all Americans. We're all Mid-Ohioans. We want this area to be great.
And certainly our congratulations go out to Tara Dyer, who did win that primary.
Yes, she's been a good friend of the station, very well spoken, another very smart person. Doesn't sound like Weasel, though, so
No similarities there at all, but I know Tara worked hard, as did Tanner, and it had to be a good night Tuesday night for Tara.
Yeah, and this is a case where you're not voting for the lesser of evils. You're voting for both good candidates. Even if your chosen candidate doesn't win, the other one is pretty good. Contrast that to the presidential election and some other elections where it's like, which one can you tolerate the most? Here we have lots of great candidates, and maybe the government of the United States could learn from that. Marion, one great thing about this town, we have so many good political candidates. They're all good.
Well,
that's an example, I think.
Well, it's already 35 minutes past the hour, and I know people want us to get to the trivia with this big Rock and Roll Hall of Fame contest going, which will end tomorrow at 2:15. So these are your last chances to get in. This two-hour program today, right up until 2 o'clock, Adam from 2:10 until 3 p.m. today, Weasel and myself from 11:10 to noon tomorrow, Exchange from 12 to 1, and Charlie from 1 to 2, and then at 2:15, we will make the drawing. So you've only got about 5 hours left to enter this contest.
Yeah. One thing I want to try, and I'll mention this for my show, we'll do kind of a reverse trivia. Stump me with a music question. Now, there are requirements. It must be the period that I'm familiar with. 1973 to 1987. It must be a top 40 type song. It can be R&B, it can be country, as long as it's top 40. Or a classic rock song. It doesn't have to be necessarily top 40, as long as in that general realm of classic rock. Make it as hard as you want, and Scott will attest. I'm talking into the phone because I'm on live video. There's no Google, no Wikipedia, no World Book Encyclopedia. This will come off the top of my brain. So stump me with a music trivia question, 73 to 87. You can also pick a TV show from early 70s to, say, early 80s. I would be happy to answer a question about a TV character, a theme song. I'm also fairly well-versed on that. And see what you can do. Can you stump Can you stump the self-described master of trivia from that period?
Now, here's one for you. Which band, now all of their members are totally unemployed and cannot get a job anywhere else?
A lot of bands are like that, Scott.
But I mean now.
It's a lot of bands I'd like to see become unemployed.
This is the worst unemployment crisis in the history of a band's history. They're the most unemployable.
Can you give me a clue? I mean, there are many bands that are no longer popular, and they kind of wasted their money and are no longer...
Well, this band was never really all that hugely popular, although people did seem to like
it. Did they have a top 40 hit, and when was their...
I believe they did.
In what period?
Well, it might have been a little bit out of your realm there, because I believe it was in the early 90s.
Well, yeah. And don't say Boys to Men, because...
It was Boys to Men.
They're making lots of royalties. Well, they have a song that was number one for like 3 months. They're making royalties.
But they're unemployed.
You and your Boys to Men. You're obsessed with Boys to Men.
I'm just saying they're unemployable at this point.
But they have royalties, Scott, just by waking up in the morning.
I didn't say they were poor. I said they
were unemployed. Well, they're retired. It's okay. It's okay to be retired when you're 45 years old.
They're not retired. They're unemployable. They tried to get a job at the Dairy Queen, and Dairy Queen said, no, we don't want you. Go home.
If you say so, Scott.
That's what I heard. I mean, that's not a factual statement. That's more of something I heard. That's a rumor. You know, rumor, gossip, innuendo.
Isn't Kroger hiring in Marion
wouldn't hire them.
For beggars?
No, wouldn't hire that group.
I thought Kroger needed beggars.
No. Well, they do, but they're just not hireable. See, there's a difference between people hiring and not being hireable.
Hireable?
Hireable.
Is that a word, hireable?
It is. It's
German. Is that a word, Donald?
German. Hireable. Like, if you go to McDonald's, they're always hiring. But if a member of Boys to Men goes to McDonald's, they will not be hired because they're not hireable.
Well, I guess they've come to the end of the road, haven't they?
They have come to the end of the road.
In more ways than one.
So that's just a little story I wanted to share today.
Now, you're obsessed with them, Scott.
No, I just think there's been some things proliferated on this station in the last week that aren't true about Boys to Men. So I feel it my duty to shake the rug clean and get the truth out there.
I think the Kroger across from our previous studios would love to have them on their
wouldn't even give them an interview.
They could be
they'd be afraid.
They could be union spokespeople.
They'd be afraid they'd break into song and people's ears would bleed. They wouldn't allow it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, well, you would know, Scott.
Maybe I could get them a job. They could work with you. Would you hire them?
I don't see why not. I mean,
so you would hire them?
Well, you know how much I love to sing. I mean...
You would like to sing with them.
I do provide karaoke software support, so maybe they could help with that. Since
there you go.
Well, so, and plus they're a cappella, and so you don't even need the karaoke accompaniment. You can just sing out of the blue without even any instruments. It would be perfect.
Well, we'll hope.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
We'll see. I don't know. I just feel bad that they're...
But your gin blossoms, by the way, I know how...
Oh, they're working heavy.
Oh, yes, they're
still on tour.
They're huge.
They're on tour.
Huge.
On tour. You got it. So, in any event, we're going to get to the trivia now with 20 minutes left in this hour. Now, here are the holdover questions. I believe we got most of them answered the other day, so we might have to add some new questions here. In the 1980s, the USA Today newspaper had a contest. Now, this contest was designed to get kids interested in the USA Today newspaper. A fictional cartoon character was lost. That's who they were looking for. So how this contest came down was, basically there was a clue that was posted in the USA Today newspaper. And the kids had to get the clue right and mail in the answer. And if they got the answer right, their name was printed in the USA Today newspaper. So who is this legendary cartoon character who was lost in the USA Today newspaper in the 1980s? 740-383-9944. That's one of the questions that still exists today. Now, here are some new questions I believe we have not done before because people seem to like this food trivia. Now, Wendy's, which we are very happy originated right here in Ohio, 45 minutes up the road in Columbus, Wendy's was the first to do something in fast food that became very popular. What was it? They are the originator of this. What was Wendy's the first to do in the fast food area before anybody else? Go ahead, caller.
Scott, was the fictional character Bart Simpson?
Not Bart Simpson. That's a good guess, though, because that was certainly his time.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Not Bart Simpson.
That's an interesting guess, Scott.
It was a good guess.
My first thought when I heard that clue, and I don't think it's right, is Mr. Clean, but that's wrong.
It's a fictional cartoon character.
Right, because he is fictional.
Geared toward children, who was lost in the USA Today newspaper in the 1980s. Who was that person? Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, would that cartoon character be Charlie Brown?
Not Charlie Brown. Thank you. No, not Charlie Brown.
Here's my other guess, if you want to hear it. I'm not sure if anybody gave this over the air. Is it Carmen Sandiego or something like that?
Somebody has guessed that. Okay, no, it was not yeah. Carmen Sandiego.
I'm just stumped. And again, there's no Google, there's no Wikipedia, there's no World Book. I use my brain, so.
Go ahead, caller.
Was the fictional character Beetle Bailey?
Not Beetle Bailey.
Good answer. I love Beetle Bailey. What a great comic strip.
Is he still in the comics?
Yeah, Beetle Bailey.
Beetle Bailey.
Great comic strip.
But it was not Beetle Bailey.
High and Lois, it's the same. They're actually like cousins, but they're actually the same, Mort Walker and Dick Brown.
What character was lost in the USA Today newspaper? Or you can tell me, what did Wendy's do first in the area of fast food? Go ahead, caller.
Did Wendy's have the first drive-thru window?
Wendy's did have the first drive-thru window.
Right. Excellent answer. Good answer.
Of anybody. All right. Into the contest. Who
this is Judy. Sorry.
Oh, Judy. All right, Judy. I'll tell you what. You have a pretty good chance of winning this tomorrow.
Judy.
Good job.
Well, you're in, Judy. Thank you.
Goodbye.
And remember, you can enter as many times as you like. But you know that, Adam? Did you know that Wendy's had the first drive-through window?
No, I should have known that because Columbus is known as Test Market USA. A lot of things that are first in the country, or at least in a big city, start in Columbus. And Columbus being very spread out, not very good bus system, and people drive everywhere, that's obvious. But, you know, sometimes those most obvious answers, you try thinking too much, and you don't think of something which should have come up the minute you ask the question. Zach F., of course, he's not eligible to win, as he's a member of our esteemed staff. He made a good guess, and it was that they had bacon, like a bacon cheeseburger, and that's, again, good guess. They may have been one of the first to offer bacon on a sandwich, but, Zach, you are incorrect. It is a drive-through, and do salute Judy for that answer. Very good.
Going back to the phones here. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, was that fictional character, was it Ziggy?
Not Ziggy, but that takes me back. Thank you.
You know, I can completely remember doing this when I was a kid. So
oh, you remember the contest.
I absolutely do. My grandma and I sat and did it. Like, we'd look for it, and I just can't believe I can't remember who it was. So it'll come to me eventually. So I'll keep trying to rack that brain.
I'm glad you brought that up, though, because so many people have told me that this did not happen. And I say, no, it happened.
It did, and I completely remember it because I was always so excited. And, we'd sit there and think about things, and we'd send in for it, we'd write everything out and get the stamp ready. I remember it like it was yesterday, but I just can't remember who it was.
Now, did you get your name printed in the USA Today newspaper? Did you get the clue right?
I think we did, actually.
Yeah.
And I think, I think my grandma kept it, but I can't find it anywhere, so.
Keep thinking, keep guessing.
I'll come up with it eventually.
Thank you. Bye-bye. See, well, there's authentication that it was true and it did happen.
And I want to reciprocate the hello from Mrs. Weasel.
Oh, Mrs. Weasel's listening?
She's watching and listening.
What does she have to say?
She just said hi.
I like Jennifer.
As in Hi and Lois, because I said Hi and Lois, which is the same cartoonist as Beetle Bailey. Maybe that's where that came from.
Jennifer's a very nice person.
I got
person.
A question
Please
for you.
Please do. Go
I'm
ahead.
Not sure you've talked about this, and if you have, I apologize. The somewhat controversial, unusual, colorful, non-traditional name for the royal baby. Archie Harrison.
Now, I think that's good.
Do you think he was named after Weasel Boy? Because that's his last name. Speaking of Mrs. Weasel. Do you think that maybe the royal family are secret closet fans of the Weasel?
Maybe. I can see the Queen being a fan of the Weasel
show.
Sure.
I get the feeling for someone who's 97 years old, she has a very good sense of humor.
Is she 97? I thought she was 93.
Well, she's older than I
am. You put about four. Don't age somebody when they're in their
90s. Well, she looks really good, though.
She's grandma now.
But I think maybe she and Meghan and Harry, or actually his real name is Henry, of course, are secret fans and followers of the Wheeze, and they figured that would be a good way to show their support.
This kid won't be known as Archie, though. It'll be something different.
Well, maybe Harrison or Harry, because that's like his father's name.
Well, I don't know. I think it'll be something in the form of Archie, like A.H. They'll call it A.H., The baby will be known as A.H.
I just think of Archie Bunker. and
Archie Bunker, yeah. That is true. Our Archie, the comics Archie.
Go ahead, caller.
Okay, I'm going to guess Miss Piggy for that character.
Not Miss Piggy.
Okay, tomorrow will you tell us before...
If nobody gets it by 1 o'clock, I'll give the answer tomorrow, but I hope we'll get it today.
No, I mean, tell us if it's like a person like a dog or if it's like a person like, you know, like, what do you call it, the Flintstones or something like a person.
Well, I tell
I never watched cartoons hardly, but I think I kind of remember that, but I just can't get it.
Well, I'll give a hint today if we don't have the answer by 1:45.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
So the royal name, Scott, are you like... thumbs up or thumbs down?
I think it's good. I think it's not an odd name. I mean, it's a name that a lot of people have been named. He'll be known as Arch.
Arch.
Yeah.
Like the Arch.
Prince Arch.
Arch Archduke or something?
Prince Arch.
Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller.
Was the fictional character He-Man?
Not He-Man. That was a good one, though.
you enjoyed the He-Man, didn't you, Adam?
Oh, the He-Man?
He-Man cartoon?
Oh, well, I'm a He-Man, so I guess I would enjoy it.
Jury's out on that one. We don't really know. We'll have to ask Louise. Maybe he would know something about that.
Well, he's wearing that cheerleading outfit that he posted online.
Did you like him in that cheerleading outfit?
It took a lot of nerve, I can say that, wearing that outfit in Ann Arbor, Michigan when it's 44 degrees outside. I hope they paid him well.
He still has that outfit, from what I understand. Maybe he'll wear that in here tomorrow.
I certainly hope he has a live video during that performance.
Well, we'd all love to see that.
We'll certainly get a lot of video watchers, that is for sure.
The question right now, I haven't even got to another question because we're having such a fantastic conversation and guesses here. What fictional cartoon character was lost in the 80s in the USA Today newspaper? Who was this person? And I'll get another question out here in a second.
Go ahead, caller.
Was the fictional character Garfield?
Not Garfield.
All right, thanks.
Oh, that finicky cat.
Animal, mineral, or vegetable, I mean... Can you give
no hints until a quarter till 2 o'clock, because we've got a whole nother hour to do this. Here's another question for you, though, if you don't know that one. It's another Wendy's question. Actually, it's a two-parter, so this will be fun. I want to phrase this right. Wendy's hamburgers are square. Why did Dave Thomas say that Wendy's hamburgers were square? Now, there are two answers to this. There's the real answer, and then there's the Dave Thomas answer. Now, I'm asking for the Dave Thomas
answer. My comical answer is...
Now, don't...
Well, I don't think this is the right answer. It's more something I thought of the minute you said that.
Well, we don't want to give any hints at this point. You can tell me during the break if somebody didn't get it.
Okay.
But what was Dave Thomas's reason for why the hamburgers were square? Now, remember, there are two answers to this. There's the real answer, and there's the Dave Thomas answer. We're looking for the Dave Thomas answer. When people used to say, why are Wendy's hamburgers square, what did Dave Thomas say? That's the question. 740-383-9944. Who was that fictional character lost in USA Today newspapers in the 1980s? Okay, maybe this is somebody with the correct answer momentarily.
Go ahead, caller.
This is kind of, did they want to kind of see the meat from the bun?
No, that wasn't it, but that's a good, interesting answer. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm trying not to say good answer because people think I say good answer too often. But I think if you have the guts to call in and give an answer, I think that is a good answer.
They say it on the Family Feud.
Or good guess.
Even if it's a terrible answer, they say, good answer.
Well, you have to. You don't want to.
Some of the answers on the Family Feud are stupid.
Well, I do think.
I would say stupid answer.
You don't think the good answer are good?
Go ahead, caller.
Wendy's don't cut corners.
Yeah, that's right.
That is right.
I remember that.
Dave,
good answer.
But, now, that's not the real reason, but that's what Dave Thomas told people. He said, because we don't cut corners. All right. Who do we have?
My name's Brenda Griffith.
Oh, Brenda, you're in here again for another one. All right. You have a pretty good chance to win this thing tomorrow. And now, are you preparing a question to stump Adam with from 2 to 3 o'clock today to get entered again?
No, I haven't yet.
Well, I'll tell you, work on it, because it's going to be good from 2:15 to 3.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Brenda. Brenda's in again. That's what Dave Thomas used to tell people. He said, we don't cut corners. That's why the hamburgers are square. Now that we've got that question out of the way, let's go to the real answer. Why are Wendy's hamburgers square? What is the real reason that Wendy's hamburgers are square? It's not about cutting corners. Does anybody know why Wendy's hamburgers are square? There's a real reason. 740-383-9944. Who's the fictional character that was lost in the 80s in the USA Today newspaper? Who is that? 740-383-9944.
Zach F. said Thundercat. I don't even know who Thundercat is, but that's his answer.
Oh, I've seen Thundercat.
I know Thunderbolt.
I think Thundercat was, yeah. I hung out with Thunderbolt, sure. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, here's another weird answer. Is it because the cheese will stay better on a square patty than a round one when they melt it?
You know, that's a good thought, but no, that's not the real...
Very cerebral.
Not the real answer, though.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, the question we're looking for, why are Wendy's hamburgers square? There's a real reason that they're square, not the Dave Thomas reason, which was he used to just say we don't cut corners. But why are Wendy's hamburgers square when most other places are round? What's the reason for that? There is a real reason. Does anybody know? Go ahead, caller.
It's what he was used to.
That's partially right, but do you know why he was used to them?
No.
Okay, keep thinking. I mean, yeah, Dave Thomas had come across square hamburgers in his life, and that's what he was used to, but why? That's the reason. Why are Wendy's hamburgers square?
Those phones are going crazy, Scott.
Well, that's because this station is big. Big time.
Bigly.
Go ahead, caller.
Was the fictional character Marmaduke?
Not Marmaduke.
All right. Thanks, you.
Gotta love Marmaduke.
That's one of my favorites also.
Marmaduke's a dog, isn't it?
A big dog.
Big dog.
He's like the daddy in the family.
This is such a well-known fictional character. I'm surprised it hasn't just been guessed offhand yet. That's what I'm surprised about. This might be it. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, were the hamburgers square so that they'd stick out of the bun?
That
they could see like the quality of it?
That's a good guess, but not the real reason he did it.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Very cerebral answers, Scott.
Well, they are, and it's an interesting answer because I did not know this myself. Now, I had heard Dave Thomas say that he didn't cut corners.
I can think of what might be the right answer too. I think I know what it might be.
It's very interesting. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, are they square because the machine that made the patties was a square, made them square?
You know, I'm sure the machine is square, but that is not the reason that he did it.
Darn. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. No, there was actually thought given to this, and Dave Thomas did it for a particular reason, although he lied about it for years. But there is a reason that he did it. Why did he do it? Go ahead, caller.
Is the fictional character Waldo?
Not Waldo, but that's a good guess. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the most likely guess on that one, I think, is where's Waldo. But it's not Waldo. Who was the fictional character that was lost in the USA Today newspaper in the 1980s that if you got the question right about the fictional character, your name got published in the USA Today newspaper? Who was that person?
I have an obvious answer, but I'm sure someone's already said this.
Well, don't obvious it up. Tell me during the break. All right, let's see what we got here. Do we got a call coming in? I think we do. Go ahead, caller.
Was it Where's Blondie?
Not Blondie.
All right.
We're looking for that character that was... This is so strange to me, because if I was going to start naming off cartoon characters, this would be...
Yeah, Blondie had a TV show, too, so back...
That's true.
Yeah, it was really good.
Very
good
popular,
show,
popular.
Back when TV shows
character.
Were good, of course.
And why, if you don't care about who was lost in the USA Today newspaper, why are Wendy's hamburgers square? What's the real reason behind that? That Dave Thomas decided to do a square hamburger. It's been that way since the beginning.
I thought of a third answer, too, but this third answer is probably wrong. But it's kind of a funny answer.
What is the answer? 740-383-WWGH. That's 9944. Yeah. Go ahead, caller.
Was it the quality of the meat?
Not the quality. Not the quality of the meat.
Not the quality of the meat.
All right. Thank you. Not the quality of the meat. I hear it raining so nastily out there right now. I just hear drop, 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 drop,
it
drop, drop.
It is good radio listening weather.
It is.
Go inside or inside the car, crank the volume, and turn on the station.
Be a depressing night tonight. Good sleep tonight, though. Go ahead, caller.
Was it to rival White Castle?
No, it had nothing to do with White Castle.
That was my first guess, by the way, Scott.
Thank you. That was your guess.
Because their burgers are square also, and they're also in Columbus. So I figured somebody would have said that. But yeah. I think my second answer might be the right one.
We're going to find out why are those Wendy's hamburgers square. Go ahead, Colin.
Hi there. Was the fictional character, was it Mickey Mouse?
That's a good one, but not Mickey Mouse.
Was it the Jolly Green Giant?
No, not the Jolly Green Giant.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm still racking my brain
now,
here.
have you thought about the hamburger? Well, you gave us a guess. Why do you think Dave Thomas, with his little white shirt there and his tie, said, "Man, these hamburgers got to be square"?
So they'd fit on the grill easier.
That's a good guess, but not. No, there is actually a different reason. Hey, thank you for calling.
No problem.
Bye bye. No. But he did. Boy, it's pouring out there right now. If you're driving, pull over and listen to this show. You don't want to be on the road right now. It's a rainstorm of epic proportions. Go ahead, caller.
I'm sure this was already given. Was it a fictional character, Bugs Bunny?
You know, I don't think we've had that guess, but it was not Bugs Bunny. See, I thought that would be one of the early guesses we'd have, but it was not Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, because you said it was Ralph Top of the Head, kind of, so I was thinking Bugs Bunny.
Oh, well, this person's up there with Bugs Bunny, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Nobody ever guessed Bugs Bunny, and I was shocked, even though I knew that was not the right answer. I thought we'd get Bugs Bunny before we got some of those others like Blondie and Marmaduke. Bugs Bunny, to me, is probably the most famous cartoon character of all time. Yes?
One of the most famous, yes.
Go ahead,
Colin. Was the fictional character Daffy Duck?
Not Daffy Duck.
All right.
Thank
bye.
You. If Daffy got lost, nobody'd want to find him. I think that's because Daffy had an attitude. You remember Daffy Duck?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. 740-383-99. Who do you believe is the most famous cartoon character of... Now, don't... No, because you might get the right answer.
Fred Flintstone.
No, you don't ever guess on the... Oh, who's this? Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
This is Connie.
Go ahead, Connie.
I think the reason the Wendy's burgers are square is so the corners stick out of the bun and people can see
somebody
the
said
quality
that already.
Of the burger.
Yeah. It's a good guess, but not the right answer.
Good guess, though. Very good guess, Connie.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. 740-383-9944. I think we're going to have an answer here before we break. 30 seconds going up until 1 o'clock. What are the... We got more questions, too, so stay with us because we're going to continue on here. Go ahead, caller.
Well, I think maybe because if you put onions and pickles on them, they'll stay on better than a round bun.
That's a good...
I mean, around hamburger.
It's a good thought, but not
but the pickle chips are round also. And onions are round. So it would fit better if the burger was round.
Well, I thought, though, that they wouldn't slide off. A round one, they do. They kind of slide. But I thought if it was square, they wouldn't seem to go move as much or something. So
it's a good guess.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll get one more in this hour. 740-383-9944. The 80s fictional character that was lost in the USA Today newspaper. And why are Wendy's hamburgers square? What is the real reason? This is the. But we're going to do this next hour, so stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Go ahead, caller.
Would that be because their patties are easier to stack?
You know, that's a good thought, but not the reason
good
Dave
answer.
Thomas
good
did
answer,
it.
Good answer, though.
Thank you. We're breaking. Adam Lepp's in studio, and we're going to come back with more of this right after the hour. Who's that lost fictional character, and why are Wendy's hamburgers square? And much more. We've got more questions, so don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.
And pressed against his leg, just above his knee. Well, he was surrounded by police officers and reporters, but none of